Bly, good morning.
Good morning, Sean.
Now, for those of us who might still be trying to wrap our heads around this one a little bit still, would you mind sort of briefly explaining to us, Scott Ludlam, Larissa Waters, why they were obliged to step down from their Senate seats?
Sure, Sean. Well, it's a very simple constitutional issue. Section 44 of the Constitution of the Commonwealth of Australia, which isn't a very long document, Section 44.1 stipulates that, quote, any person who is under acknowledgement of allegiance, obedience, or adherence to a foreign power, or is subject, or a citizen of another country, can't be in Parliament. It's that simple.
Now, a few people have argued this is perhaps a little bit dated. I mean, what is your take on it? This is basically making sure that they don't have a divided loyalty. Their loyalty is purely to Australia when they don't hold a citizenship to anywhere else. But some have argued this undivided loyalty argument is a little bit old-fashioned. What's your take?
Interestingly, the language from the Constitution has been criticised as being quote-unquote archaic. However, in our normal lives, beyond Parliament, for example, in the corporate world, in the government sector, this is very, very similar to a conflict of interest. And lots of organisations, public and private, stipulate that you can't have an objective conflict of interest in the workplace in other realms of life. So if we think of it as being equivalent to that, it might make more sense to people.
Yeah, I think that is a rather good way of looking at the conflict of interest. You wouldn't have somebody working or having these interests tied into one business while working for another, a competitor in some senses. But certainly it was written in a different time. This constitution was written in a different time. Nowadays, we've got over 3 million Australian citizens who are born overseas, and you know, it came as a bit of a surprise, I think, that senators like Scott Ludlam and Larissa Waters actually had these dual citizenships. So, what do you make of this sudden push to perhaps see this law changed?
Well, there has been an argument that it ought to be changed, but the reality is that we'd have to have a referendum to change the Constitution, and that doesn't... While we have lots of referendums, the Constitution has only changed, I think it's about 8 times from 44 referenda, so that's not going to happen anytime soon, and you can imagine if that was put to the Australian electorate, given that you have to win a majority of people in a majority of states, a contentious issue like this is not going to be put to the Australian electorate, because there's just no way that it would get up. So it would be a waste of time and a waste of money. So it's really that simple, I think. It's going to stay there because of the difficulty of changing it.
So other parliamentarians who might have seen this kind of dual citizenship in action, you know, is it fairly obvious the methods they need to be taking to protect themselves? They needed to renounce it, and somehow Scott Ludlam, Larissa Waters, they just somehow skipped over these ones? They missed them?
Well, it's interesting that the High Court decision in 1994, I think it was, no, 19, about 2 decades ago, anyway, that decided that in its decision, it said that the High Court said that you have to take exercise due diligence, and you have to take all reasonable steps to ensure that you don't have dual citizenship. So you have the example that people have been using this week, talking about Sam Dastyari, who claims to have spent $25,000 of his own money to employ lawyers in Iran, both in Iran and in Australia, to ensure that he was not in danger of falling foul of Section 44.1. So that's all due diligence and all reasonable steps have to be taken to ensure that you don't have that objective conflict of interest.
Well, Bly, thank you very much. Really, I do appreciate you joining us, unpacking this one for us a little bit.
No problem, Sean.